Sarah. Morning, everybody. Hopefully you're okay. By the way, I just thought I'd read you the definition of the word exalt, because I always do things like that when we're thinking about words. I think it's quite cool. Think or speak very highly of someone or something, someone in the case of this morning. And I like this one. Raise to a higher rank or position. Oh, that's good, isn't it? Do you need to raise Jesus to a higher rank or position today? That's a little aside thought. There we go, before I crack on. It's a bit chilly, isn't it? So I'll try not to be too long, because I can see some of you already shivering, and so was I over there. By the way, there's some great winter coats around. Look at Josie's coat here. Look at this ski jacket. Oh, my goodness. Don't get that near a naked flame, because I think it's going to be gone. And Tim's got an amazing coat over here from the 80s. I was just asking him about it. It's his photographer's coat, he said. So there you go. It's always good to see a few coats out. Yes, it won't be too long this morning, all right, because we are getting a bit cold. We're in the season of Advent, and we're heading towards Christmas. And of course, as Christians, we always have that kind of tension, I suppose, or challenge to keep the Christmas message at the heart of this time of the year amongst everything else that's going on. I read this morning that you need to keep Christ in Christmas, otherwise all you're left with is M&S, which is quite frankly, an expensive Christmas, isn't it? So make sure you don't do that one, all right? Now, Advent then, and we're in this season of Advent. We started the candle. I've got to finish before the whole table goes up in smoke over there. Brilliantly thinking about hope and waiting for Jesus to come. That's what we're thinking about in this season, isn't it? Waiting for the arrival of Christ. But do you know what? Actually, the amazing truth for us as we celebrate Christmas and as we celebrate Advent is that actually, for us as Christians, it should always be Advent, because we are waiting for Christ to come again. And that is exciting. You can get a little bit excited, all right? So try and look as cheerful as Kieran does, all right? Because Kieran's been walking around bringing joy to everybody this morning. I love it when Kieran's here. You shut your eyes in worship and you open them. Whoa, there's Kieran looking at you. It's brilliant. Yes. You see, yeah, I know. Yeah, you got us all this morning. But anyway, yeah, let's try and be as joyful as Kieran, yeah, this morning, because something to celebrate. Advent should be all year round for us as Christians, every single day, as we wait in eager anticipation for Jesus to come again. Did you know that he is coming again? For some reason, I don't know why, but the church in general doesn't really talk about this very much. But actually, this is amazing. Jesus is coming back again. We talk all about the first time he came, yeah? And of course, you know, this time of the year, that's what it's all about, isn't it? Jesus' arrival on earth. And of course, at Easter time, we remember what he accomplished for us when he was here as a man, as the God-man. But then for some reason, we forget all the stuff that he talks about when he says he's going to come again. And I think we need to get a bit more excited about this as the church. Jesus is coming back again, right? This is good news, yeah? This is what we should be celebrating. This is what we should be thinking about every single day of our lives, that Jesus is coming back again. This is good news, and this is what I want to just share with you this morning, some of that good news, to unpack that truth that we read about in the Bible. We're not going to get into the massive theology of it and try and understand it and try and work out when it might happen, because people have been doing that for 2,000 years, and quite frankly, it's very confusing. So we're not going to do that. We're going to celebrate the fact that he is coming again. We don't know when. Jesus himself said, actually, he doesn't even know. Yeah, God's waiting to tell him, right, now's the time. Is it going to be in 5 minutes? Quite possibly. The danger is we think, well, it hasn't happened yesterday, and it didn't happen 2,000 years ago, so it's unlikely to happen in a minute. But actually, what difference does it make? Just because it hasn't happened for 2,000 years doesn't mean that tomorrow, when you open the curtains and look up at the clouds, he's going to be there. It's quite possible. He is coming back again. And this is an integral part of the message that we have as Christians. We talk all the time about Jesus dying on the cross for us and what that means for us. But when he comes again, he completes it all. He completes the whole thing for us, and he takes us with him if we have chosen to believe in him, if we have chosen to forsake everything else and exalt him to that pole position. If we've chosen to do that, he is going to take us with him. I mean, how great is that? That is some good news, and that's what I want us to be thinking about today. Perhaps, may I suggest, that people outside the church would be a little bit more interested in what we're saying if we start talking about the fact that Jesus is coming back. I think, now this is just my own opinion, that maybe people outside the church have got a little bit used to us talking about Jesus coming at Christmas and Jesus coming at Easter. Now, I'm not taking away about the powerful message that those two things are, but actually maybe they've got a little bit used to that. Oh yeah, that's what Christians talk about. That's what the Christians talk about. But do they know that he's coming back again? Have you told someone at work, you know what, actually, Jesus is coming back again? That is a bit of a weird conversation to have, quite frankly. But actually, wow, maybe if we started talking about that, maybe people would start to be a little bit more interested. They started to sit up a little bit more and think, whoa, what's that all about? He's coming back again? People are always after the meaning of life. Well, I'll tell you what the meaning of life is. It's waiting in preparation for Jesus to come back again to take you off to be in eternity with him in the new heaven and the new earth. That is the meaning of life. And if we keep missing out the bit about him coming back again, and we keep talking about him coming then, but not again, we're kind of missing half the story, really. It's a bit like putting down a really good book halfway through and forgetting all about it and then not bothering with it. But we know the end of the story. Maybe sometimes in your own life you thought, oh, do you know what? Life's really hard, life's really tough. I just wish I knew what was going to happen next. Well, we do. We know what's going to happen next. He is coming back to take us away with him. And if that doesn't happen before we die, then we'll go and be with him anyway. But maybe we're still going to be alive when he comes back. Either way, it's an important message for us to tell people about the good news. It's no point worrying about the future anymore because he is coming back. This week we've been disappointed and frustrated and maybe angered with news headlines that we have been reading about. Maybe we've been saddened by some of the things that we've heard about this week, and we just get despondent and we feel like we could easily just go into despair. We think, oh no, we've got to start wearing masks again on Tuesday in shops and on the bus. Oh, you know, have we had enough of this? Yes, we have all had enough of it. We could get into despair. We can think about, you know, the tragic death of those people in the Channel this week, and we think, oh, why can't our world leaders actually just do something about it instead of arguing and blocking each other and all this stuff that's been going on as a result of that. And we can get despondent and we can lose heart, but we know the end of the story. We know the end of the story, that he's coming back. He is coming again. So how do we know that he's coming again? Well, we can read about it in the Word of God. Jesus himself talks about it loads of times, that he is coming back again. So I want us to look at that. And then I want us to look at a really cool, amazing part of the Bible, which people avoid all the time, which is the last book, which is Revelation. And people avoid it because it's like, whew, seriously crazy, and like loads of different things going on in it, and it's very difficult to understand. And even people that spend their entire life studying it don't get all the things that are going on in it. But I want us to look there today as well, because these two places, things that Jesus said and this revelation that John had, one of Jesus' disciples, about the end of time, really, and about who Jesus is. I want us to look at these two things this morning very briefly and hopefully leave with a bit of hope, yeah? A bit of anticipation that Jesus is coming, not because the 25th of December is less than a month away, but because he promised that at some point he is coming back. Can you look a bit excited? Good, good. Right, let's jump to Matthew and Matthew 24. We could equally go to Luke 21, by the way, but I've decided to go with Matthew this morning. So if you want to look at Luke 21 later, it's pretty much exactly the same, really, some words of Jesus. But we're going to go to Matthew and going to read you, I think, from about 26. Yeah, I've just had a birthday, which means I need to look closer at the small print. There we go. It says, so, this is Matthew 24 and verse 26. Jesus talking about the end of time, and he's talking about him coming back. He's talked about it a little bit already, and we'll pick it up sort of halfway through his conversation. He says, so if someone tells you, look, the Messiah is out in the desert, don't bother to go and look, or look, he's hiding here, don't believe it. Then he describes what's going to happen. For as the lightning flashes in the east and shines in the west, so it will be when the Son of Man comes. Just as the gathering of vultures show there is a carcass nearby, so these signs indicate that the end is near. Immediately after the anguish of those days, the sun will be darkened, the moon will give no light, the stars will fall from the sky, and the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Wowzers. Goodness me. And then, at last, it says this, the sign that the Son of Man is coming, don't forget that's the title that Jesus uses for himself, so don't get confused about that as he's talking about himself. The Son of Man is coming and will appear in the heavens, and there will be deep mourning among the people of the earth. And they will see the Son of Man coming on the clouds of heaven with power and great glory. And he will send out his angels with the mighty blast of a trumpet, and they will gather his chosen ones from all over the world, from the farthest ends and from the earth and heaven. Wow. This is Jesus himself talking about what is going to happen. What is going to happen? Now, again, we're not going to get into the theology of what has to happen in what order, etc., 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 because people always disagree on that, and we haven't got time to talk about it. But he is coming back. He's going to come back on the clouds of heaven. I mean, isn't that amazing? How is it that we're all going to see him? I don't know. I was thinking earlier about the cloud, you know, like Google Cloud and Apple Cloud. Do you think he's going to appear on that cloud? Is that how everyone's going to see him? I hope not, because that's a bit disappointing, isn't it? I hope it's a bit more like, boom, right up there. And there he is. Yesterday afternoon, in all that rain that we were having, I don't know if you noticed, if you're in Folkestone about 4 o'clock, suddenly it went really weird. It went a bit red. Did anyone notice that? And it went really red. And we were watching a snooker, and Isaac said, wow, do you think Jesus is about to come back? And Evan said, oh yeah, maybe the trumpet's going to sound. And we sort of just stopped and looked out the window for a little bit, and then was a bit disappointed because we had to carry on watching Ronnie O'Sullivan rather than Jesus, which, you know, Ronnie O'Sullivan's quite exciting, but not really as exciting as Jesus coming back again. But those sorts of conversations, like, we need to have them more. Like, be in expectation and a knowledge that this is written in the Word of God. This is Jesus himself talking about this. You know, this is him saying what is going to happen, how he is going to come back. Everyone is going to see and know it. Jesus said, don't be fooled and say, oh, someone says, oh, Jesus is over here. You know, oh, come and see Jesus at Harbour Church. Yeah, he's over here and he's going to be performing tonight. That's not going to be true, because everyone's going to see it all at once. So don't be deceived. Don't be like misled by somebody. Sounds pretty scary, yeah? It will be. I think it will be very scary. Let's face it. We're talking about something supernatural, something extraordinary. So this is what Jesus himself has said about it. Now, of course, at Christmas time, we think about Jesus coming to the earth. And when he came to the earth that time, he was, of course, first of all, a baby. We then know that he grew up. We don't know huge amounts of much about his childhood. We know that story, if you're familiar with the Gospels, about when he was about 12 years old and he goes to the temple. Then he becomes a man, of course, begins to teach all this amazing stuff that we read about in the Gospels. And hopefully you have read at some point, at least once in your life. More than once would be even better. And we discover then, of course, his mission is to die on the cross, to be raised again, and then he ascends up to heaven. Now, when he came, we get this, it's described brilliantly in a kind of poetic words, if you like, in Hark the Herald Angels Sing, because it says in that song, veiled in flesh, the Godhead see. So think about Jesus being part of the Godhead, veiled in flesh, in other words, reduced down Jesus as a physical man looking like me. Well, probably not, because he was a carpenter, so he would have been a lot more muscly than me, probably. But, you know, Jesus was a man looking like a Middle Eastern person, darker skin, long hair, beard, all that kind of stuff because of the culture that he was in, walking around looking like anybody else. You wouldn't have known any different if you met him just saw him in the street. He just looked like any other person around in that country at that time. But when he comes again, he's not going to look like that. This time, he's not going to be veiled in flesh. This time, we are talking about full-on Marvel superhero Jesus, all right? Like, if you're into the Marvel superhero films, which I'm actually not, yeah, we've actually got a load of crazy, like, you know, powers and all this stuff. But when Jesus comes again, he's going to wipe the floor with anything that we can make up about some superhero power, yeah? Anything that we could think of and be entertained by in Marvel and all those other things. We're talking full-on Jesus. And let's read about him in Revelation 1. So go all the way to the end of your Bible. And here John is having a full-on vision trip, okay? He's on an island all on his own, and suddenly, boom, the Holy Spirit just takes over, and he begins to see some crazy things, yeah? Full-on crazy stuff, all right? And he sees a vision of Jesus coming again at the end of time. This is superhero Jesus. This is not puny, westernized Jesus, yeah, that we're a bit used to seeing in this country, who's all kind of skinny and white and, oh, not looking very nice. You know, this is full-on Jesus, all right? So get your westernized Jesus out your head, all right? You know, we need to get that one out your mind. You know, it's not the Jesus that's outside on the top of that plinth. Have you seen him on the top of there? I think, oh dear, I wonder if you could just accidentally knock that down one day. Anyway, because I just look at Jesus on the top of there and I'm thinking, I don't really know who that is out there, because it's not really the person that I'm following and devoting my entire life to. All his ribs out and looking. Anyway, let me not get distracted. Let's have a look at Revelation. If you see that's disappeared, by the way, sorry. In the middle of the night, accidentally drive my car into it. Oh, dear. Deary me. Puny Jesus has gone. Anyway, let's have a look at superhero Jesus, the real Jesus, not someone's idea of him. Revelation 1, 13, and prepare to be freaked out, all right? Because when John saw this, he actually collapsed on the floor, all right, in fear. So this is what it says. 13, and standing in the middle of the lampstands was someone like the Son of Man. Now remember, that's the description that Jesus uses for himself, yeah? So this is it. He was wearing a long robe with a gold sash across his chest. Fair enough. Gets better though. His head and his hair were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were like flames of fire. His feet were like polished bronze refined in the furnace, and his voice thundered like mighty ocean waves. He held seven stars in his right hand, and a sharp two-edged sword came from his mouth, and his face was like the sun in all its brilliance. Wow. This is who is coming back. This is the person who is going to appear. And what happens when he appears? John says, when I saw him, I fell at his feet as if I were dead. Have you ever been that scared that you thought you were going to die? Yeah? Maybe you have. Maybe you've been in some situation where, you know, you actually thought, in a minute, my organs are just going to give up because I am terrified. This is the reaction. Yeah, that John has. This is the reaction that everybody is going to have. Don't you want to make sure you know him before he appears? Imagine if you don't know Jesus and suddenly here he is appearing one day. Tomorrow morning as we wake up, we open the curtains. There he is, looking like that. We're going to be terrified, but we're going to know him. If we are followers of Jesus, if watching this today, you are a follower of Jesus, you already know this person who is coming. We know him. So actually, we don't need to be totally terrified. We will still be terrified because, let's face it, it's a terrifying sight. This is who is coming back again. This is what we need to be in the season of Advent for all the time, in preparation that Jesus is coming back. Not as he did before, not veiled in flesh. He's not coming back in the interpretation that we've got of him in the West, of this kind of white guy who's like disappeared and no one knows who he is anymore, and he looks all puny and he's on the top of a statue out there. He's not that Jesus. He is this amazing Jesus who is terrifying, who is coming, who is bright, who is glowing. He's coming to complete everything that he set out to do. He's coming to take you and me as followers of Jesus home. Are we ready? Are we ready? We're going to be spending this month getting ready for December the 25th and buying a turkey and buying advent calendars, and we're going to get the sprouts and we're going to do all that stuff. But what about for eternity? Are we ready for Jesus to come? Because Jesus carries on in Matthew. Let's go back. And he gives us a warning, and we can read about it in Luke as well. And he says that we should be ready. He gives us an illustration. Matthew 24 and verse 12. I'm glad that Jesus gives us illustrations, because he knows, like, our brains are so small, yeah, that he like has to bring it all down so that we can just get hold of, you know, what's actually going on here. Because he's just blown our minds by saying he's going to come on the clouds and all that. And then he's like, okay, let's just bring it down just to help Josh understand this a little bit better, because that's too big for his brain. All right, and his brain's going to explode. So he says this: now, learn a lesson from the fig tree. When its branches bud and its leaves begin to sprout, you know that summer is near. In the same way, you can see all these things, and you can know that his return is very near, right at the door. I tell you the truth, that this generation will not pass from the scene until all these things take place. Heaven and earth will disappear, but my words will never disappear. He gives us this illustration. We know how to be ready for other things, like the seasons changing. We know how to be ready for Christmas. We know how to spot that it's that time of the year again. The leaves are falling. You know, the cool coats are coming out the cupboard. We can spot the time of year, but can we spot the spiritual season? That Jesus is coming back again. Are we ready? Are we in anticipation? Do we even believe that he is coming back again? Do we actually believe it? That is my challenge to you and me. Do we really believe that he's coming back again? Because if we do, we're going to be talking about it a lot more. We're going to be wrapping up the message of the gospel in the fact that, you know what? Jesus is coming back again. And this is what he is going to be like. The hero of creation is coming to whip away everything that disappoints us, everything that frustrates us. The things that have gone on in the news this week which have broken our hearts, the things that have gone on in your life personally which you've just found to be a big disappointment and a big discouragement, he's coming to wipe away all of that. In the book of Revelation, it says he's going to wipe away every tear, and he's coming to take us back again. That is exciting, people. That is what we need to be thinking about. That is the immense message of Advent, that we need to be waiting for Jesus to come back again. Are we ready? Are we waiting? That is my challenge, and that's really where I want to end it. We could look into loads more theology, and you might want to do that. You might want to go away and read a bit more about what Jesus says about it in Luke 21 and Matthew 24. We've only touched on a small bit of it, but I just wanted to get you a bit excited this morning, that this is an exciting time to be living in, a season of Advent every single day. This morning on Radio Church, Richard Hayward, who many of you know, preached, and he said, do you open the curtains every day and think, wow, these clouds could have Jesus arriving on them? I thought, wow, what an amazing thought that is. I challenge you to go away and listen to that. Dig out Radio Church from this morning over on Mixcloud and have a listen to that message, because it's an amazing thought. Are we ready? Are we in anticipation every single day for Jesus coming back again? Give us a cheer. Woo! Come on, Sarah.
Yeah, you can clap, show your appreciation. Thank you, Josh. Yeah. We sang in the hymn earlier, Awake My Soul and Sing. And I think what Josh has done this morning is he's woken us up to an incredible truth. And so that's brilliant. And I don't know if anyone else feels that, but I think that's what he's done. It's like, come on, wake up. Wake up to the reality and the truth in this Advent season that Jesus is coming back. Hi, did you want to jump up here? Is that okay? And I don't know what song we're going to finish with, but let's finish with a song. And so this week, what a challenge for us. I tell you what, if we really believe it, it doesn't just change the way we think, it changes the way we live, it changes everything, literally. I mean, I know that some relatives of Muriel's, and you might say, oh, they took this to the extreme, but they literally lived every day thinking Jesus might come back, and they dramatically changed their lives, made decisions not to do things or to do certain things that maybe we'd go, that's extreme, they didn't need to do that. But actually, what an attitude to live with that's going, actually, I'm going to believe that Jesus is coming back, and I'm going to live in preparation and anticipation of that. So let's be awakened this morning, amen, to the truth of that. Hi, I don't know what we're going to sing. Do we have... Oh, okay. I thought you might be. She's the lion and the lamb. I thought you were going to go for that. Okay, while Heidi is just getting ready to do that, quick reminder about tonight at St. John's Church, it is the Winter Shelters dedication service. And so that's a great thing to be a part of. Can we also just take this moment in the service to thank those of you that are giving online every week, and just to remind you that you're able to do that. Part of our worship is to honour God with our giving. And so if you happen to be here, or you're watching online and you're not doing that, but you'd like to give towards, to God and towards the work of the church, then the information is on the screen right now. And you can go onto the website, find out how to give, or Muriel's here this morning. Is Sam here this morning? I don't know, but you can certainly chat to Muriel or Sam about that, or Josh, and find out. So we'd like to gift aid. We'd like to be able to give our offering to God, so you can chat to them about that. Let's stand together, shall we? It sounds like they've got the song. Thanks, Heidi. And let's declare the truth. Let's awake ourselves, awake my soul to the truth of the gospel and the truth that Jesus is coming again. Thanks, Heidi.